Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Welcome to the show, an episode, drumroll, 499. We're on the precipice of greatness here as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her 2025 nutrition. Ooh, the cutting edge new things we want you to stay right on top of in the year 2025 for that new year thing. Now you know we're going to pivot immediately to Chef Abby Gelman, our go-to for all things cooking and nutrition. So before we begin this special show, I just want to give a shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. They've got that gift for women, the new award-winning Her Life Stages products, and they provide support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And in addition to that, just a whole slew of other great things for you, including multivitamins, et cetera. This is an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her life journey. So to learn more about Her Life Stages by Solaray, run on over to your local health food store, or, you know, you could check them out over at Sprouts and at Whole Foods and also Solaray.com. And if you happen to go over to the website, well, use promo code HER20 for 20% off. All right. Now, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show, because we sit around just waiting for you, waiting for that feedback. All right. It's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
So, oh my gosh, this is just absolutely the best. We are going to be talking about, all the new trends in food and eating and preparation of food for 2025. And this is really important for everyone to listen to, because we really want to stay on top of, honestly, a field that's changing so fast. I'm blinking my eye. Boom, something else changed. I know it did. And who better to join me on this journey than Chef Abby Gelman? She is a culinary nutritionist, meaning that she's everything all wrapped up into one gorgeous person. She has a master's degree in nutrition science. She is a registered dietitian, and she's also a certified chef. So she knows how to cook it. She knows how to teach it. And Chef Abby, we just love having you back again.
I love being here.
Come on down, as we say in the business. Come on down. Oh, my God. So here we are. First of all, are you just kind of like pinching your cheek? Is this the end of 2024 already?
Yeah, it went really fast. I feel like it went much faster this year than other years. I don't know why. Speedy.
I'm just like, what happened? I'm getting whiplash here.
Yeah.
And the next time I turn around and you go to a Costco or a Home Depot and everything's got Christmas stuff on it, and you're like, wait a minute. Did I have Thanksgiving?
That's right.
It's pretty nuts. Oh my gosh. Speaking of nuts, come on, you love that, didn't you?
I do.
All right. Let's talk about some food trends. You and I have, discussed this ahead of time. So let's go for the big ones. And this first one, which is all about high fiber diets, is turning out to be a thing. You and I forever have been telling people to bump up the fiber in their diets. You know, if you want to have a number, it's 40 grams a day, please. Hello. 40, 40, 40. Always think about that. If it's more than that, man, are you going to be regular? And if it's a little bit less than that, that's cool. But just try to, you know, aim for on average around 40-ish, 45 grams. Okay. Now, people, you know, it went in one ear and out the other. It's like people, it's like they don't listen to us, Abby. Like we sit here and get sweat dropping down off our forehead from telling them all this. And then all of a sudden, it's a thing. It's like, oh, well, wait a minute. If you have fiber-rich meals, then you feel fuller. If you feel fuller, you're not going to eat as much. And then it makes dropping excess body fat so much easier. Well, duh, I've been saying that forever.
But now just ahead of the curve, Pam, always.
I'm just saying here. And so let's talk about fiber-rich meals. And where do you get this dietary fiber, Chef Abby?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about fiber constantly. So anything that is food from a plant essentially has fiber, should have fiber. So fruits, vegetables, nuts, like you mentioned before, and seeds, beans and lentils, all those great legumes, grains. These are all plant-based foods. And as such, they should all have some amount of fiber.
Okay. So did you hear that, folks? Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes. That means beans. Yep. By the way, beans are like, I just saw another article. They're in. when the hell were beans out?
I know.
What is wrong? Oh, you know, people, common sense, please. It's a little bean. And in your little friends with benefits down there in your gut microbiome. Yeah. Oh, my God. They're going to love all this. They're going to go, bring it on, man, because now you're giving us something to chomp on and to be able to help you access all the nutrients in all of these. That's very cool. So please don't do this thing, ladies out there, and that is to wait for just one meal and make one meal a high fiber something, whether it's a breakfast, lunch, whatever. Please, please, please. Could you please just spread it out throughout the day? So that means like a fiber-rich soup for lunch and, you know, dinner. You've got those legumes, roasted vegetables or whole grains, and you've got a really high fiber breakfast. What's a high fiber breakfast for you?
So there's two that I have as kind of a go-to. One is either steel-cut oats or overnight oats. So those are both whole grains that have a lot of fiber. And then I'll add in maybe some fruit. Maybe I'll do something savory, maybe with oatmeal and have some roasted veggies on there. Maybe some chia seeds. Those are all very, very fiber-rich breakfasts. Or if you are simpler, like a yogurt, let's say you want to eat just a yogurt and not go crazy in the morning, if just adding some nuts and some fruit will add a ton of fiber.
Oh my gosh, I just love this already. And so we got lentils and, you know, the other day I had the best chia pudding. Oh, die for. Oh my gosh. And then quinoa, you know, our little full protein quinoa, nummy nummy. And for all you people out there who say, oh, I can't have a potato. The heck you can't have a potato. You can have a baked potato with skin.
Yep.
Right? Yep,
that's right. There's two different kinds of fiber, soluble and insoluble. I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty, but we need both of them. And so, for example, a potato, the skin is one type of fiber and the inside flesh of the potato is the other type of fiber. So we want to eat the whole vegetable or the whole fruit, because that way we get all of the goodness.
Those two forms of fiber, insoluble and soluble, and the potato is a beautiful example, are so great for your gut, because those little friends with benefits down there, and these are the trillions of bacteria and goodies down there, all their little communities. So they really need to chomp on things. And they need to be able to break things down. So that soluble fiber just makes them all happy. And then the insoluble whizzes through, but it helps us with our regularity and just sort of a nice homeostasis or balance down in our gut. So we love that. Love, love, love that. And all of our greens. Don't forget your greens. Brussels sprouts. I had some marvelous Brussels sprouts the other day as well. And then how about some broccoli, green peas? I mean, come on, people. This is easy. And don't worry unless you for sure have gluten issues. Whole wheat spaghetti. Come on. Barley. This stuff is awesome. We love this. Love, love, love. So that's a good thing. So that's the fiber thing. I think we've beat them over the head with that enough, Abby. So I'm going to learn you out there one way or the other. So, all right, let's move on to protein. Now, protein is super important, but this is a special kind of protein. This is plant-based protein.
Right.
What's that about, Chef Abby?
So when I am talking about plant-based protein, I define it as, again, like we were just talking about, plants that also have protein. So beans and lentils have a lot of plant-based protein. If you like tofu or any soy type of products, there's a lot of protein in there as well. Nuts and seeds have some protein. Whole grains like quinoa and oats have some protein. All of these are kind of our pie of foods when we're talking about plant-based proteins that are also whole foods.
You know, I'm seeing so much more of this in protein powders, the peas especially. Seeing a boatload more of that. And people are using it all the time. I don't really see that there's a big problem. And they really seem to be very effective. I mean, they're on par with whey protein. So why not try them?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you could pair proteins. So what is pairing protein?
That's one of my favorite things to do. So it's also helpful for like affordability, if we're going to talk about affordability. But so if I make, for example, chili, I might have a half a pound of ground beef or ground turkey in there, and I will bulk it up with beans, lots of beans. Or if I'm making burgers, turkey burgers, for example, I will mash some beans in there with it. Or something like that. So a pound of meat will get me 6 to 8 burgers instead of a pound of meat giving me 4 burgers. And I've bulked it up with some other plant-based protein and things like that.
Oh, I love that. And a little word to all my wonderful Her Podcast audience out there. And what's important here is that women, please spread your protein out throughout the day. And don't just leave it for one meal, like your dinner. Don't do that. Please, please, please. You have so many options for protein. Although we were talking about plant-based protein, you know where you can find the other stuff. Dairy is so easy. Just one of those nice Icelandic yogurts and throw some walnuts on top of it. And you've got yourself, kind of bumped yourself from 15 to almost 20 grams of yogurt. Protein base in no time at all. And so what's not to love here? But you got to spread it out and make certain that for an average size woman, relatively speaking, you should really be aiming for between 60 to 70 grams of protein per day. And if you want to know calculations and really get down to the specifics, it's really 1.2 to 1.4 grams per kilogram body weight. So then you take your body weight, divide it by 2.2, and you get the kilograms. And then you multiply that by either somewhere between 1.2 to 1.4, and that will give you your daily budget of protein. And obviously, I'm eliminating hardcore major league elite athletes. They have their own recipes. But for the average woman who's just really trying to stay on top of it, and hello, if you don't have enough protein, you cannot maintain your muscles. So what's the use of going to the gym and hammering it out when you don't then feed your body protein to rebuild and build even more muscle? you've got to have the bricks to build that brick wall. And so this is why it's important. And for all you lovely ladies out there between the ages of 40, 50, 60 and up, all right, it is imperative you stay on top of your muscle because it is exceptionally easy for you to drop muscle if you become sedentary. And that is especially true over the age of 50. Incredibly important that you know that. So this is why, please, please, please pay attention to your protein starting this very moment. You've heard me harp about this before, and keep this baby going all the way through 2025 and beyond. All right. Now let's go to another food trend, affordable nutrition. Well, especially, you know, with inflation and everything else, good Lord, what's important about this? What are foods that are nutrient dense, but cheap, you know, budget friendly? So take it away, Chef Abby.
Yeah. Well, we're back to our legumes, right? Those beans and lentils, you can buy them dried or you can buy them canned, but either way, they're very reasonably priced and budget friendly. And they have a lot of nutrients, including that plant-based protein we were just talking about. So again, if you want to make a pot of chili for your family, you can use a pound of meat, but you can also use a ton of beans in there. And instead of a pot of chili to serve 4 to 6 people, you might serve 10 to 12 people. And it's just a smaller portion of meat per person and a larger portion of beans. And then you can freeze that and have it, you know, all month long.
All right. So that's why I make soups and I keep them in the fridge. And this is why people, frozen and canned produce are perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with that.
And then you have them all, if you're in an area where it's cold and there's no local farm market around that has the summertime vegetables or the springtime vegetables that we're used to, the frozen is perfect. It's picked at peak and then frozen within 24 hours. So it's essentially almost the same as having it during the season of that fruit or vegetable.
No question about it. And you know, canned fish is awesome. So that's tuna, sardines, and salmon. People forget about salmon. Salmon's canned, and there's nothing wrong with that. That works for me, to say the least. And you know, the other thing too is to really pay attention to what's going on with in-season produce and trying to also buy, if you can, food in bulk. And I think a lot of people are getting smarter and smarter about doing that. I don't know. What do you think, Chef Abby?
Yeah, I like that, as long as people are being smart about it. One thing I often recommend, not just in the winter, but all year round, is to use the fresh fruits and vegetables that go bad quicker in the beginning of the week. And then you save that hardier produce like cabbage and potatoes and things that last a lot longer. And you save those for later in the week when you've gone through everything that might spoil quicker.
Yep, you got that right. All right, so now we have the high fiber diets, we have the plant-based protein, we're paying attention to affordable nutrition. Now we're going to get into something. The obesity medications are everywhere now. And if you think the GLP-1s are the only medication that's going to be showing up as an obesity and also diabetes medication, do think again, because I happen to know that in the pipeline, there are going to be other kinds, new categories of these foods. And a lot of this is still going to be very pertinent. So what's up with them? Right off the bat, and we're just dealing with the very first couple years with people on the GLPs, one of the things that these medications, for instance, you've heard of Ozempic, that's one of them, and that became, oh, kind of a, how shall I say, the Kleenex of the category. So when you think, yeah. when you think of GLP, you think of Ozempic, but there are several others that have been put out by Novo Nordisk as well as Lilly. And they're all kind of doing the same thing. And that is they're tamping down on the appetite and hunger situation and resulting in some pretty profound weight reduction in the majority of people. And of course, it's exquisitely variable how many months, weeks, or whatever you stay on these and back and forth. We're still kind of plowing our way through this as researchers doing clinical trials with this. Now, here's the thing we worry about. You and me, Chef Abby, we worry.
Yeah.
The first thing we worry about is that people just stop eating.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to stop eating. You're supposed to take the medication. And I know it's going to probably decrease your appetite and the rest of it, but you have to pay attention to healthy eating. And yes, you will be eating less, but it's got to still be balanced and healthy. That's what's really important here. Okay. The other people we worry about are people who are taking these and still eat trash. So what they're doing is they're just, you know, giving themselves that little injection and then go around and eat whatever they want to. They have not cleaned up their dietary intake. Newsflash, that will never work. Now, come on now. This is a holistic approach. The obesity, diabetes medications are there to be part of the solution. So you still have to have an ecosystem, as it were, of healthy eating and exercise as well. So here's some other stuff that goes on. We have found that people oftentimes don't pick up that exercise. At the same time, they're not eating enough protein. So suddenly they're dropping a boatload of muscle, much more so than you drop if you just go to the gym and work out and eat healthfully. So we're worried about that. So protein, 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 people, we just said that, all right? So put it on rewind and listen to what we said, number one. Number two, please, a balanced meal. Number three, please pay attention at the very least to a multivitamin, and Solaray has fantastic multivitamins for women specifically, and they're age related. So a multivitamin, pay attention to your calcium. Super important. Pay attention to your vitamin D, D as in dog. And you should also know your vitamin D blood level. So ask your doctor to draw one when you blow in there next time. And it should be at the very least, just remember the numbers between 50 and 60 or so. Okay, please, 50 and 60, because that would be quite optimal for you. And it's super important at the same time to have high quality protein sources, antioxidant rich foods, and fiber rich foods. So we covered fiber, we did the protein. All right, take it away, Chef Abby, antioxidant rich foods.
Yeah, that is colors, right? So lots of fruits and veggies. So the colors of the fruits and veggies are all different antioxidants. So if you're eating cauliflower, some of the antioxidants in that food will be different than if you're eating blueberries. So we really want to kind of aim for a variety of fruits and vegetables throughout the week.
Okay, excellent. And why do we say anti-inflammatory? Why is that important? Because the basis of disease, and that includes all the itises, you know, bronchitis, arthritis, whatever, as well as cancer, as well as diabetes, all the rest of it, these are pro-inflammatory conditions in the body. The body doesn't like walking around with out of control inflammation. That's just like not a good thing. All right. So given that, you need to try to do everything you can to decrease inflammation. Exercise decreases inflammation. Getting a good night's sleep, high quality, decreases inflammation. And obviously, nutrition is front and center. Fruits, vegetables, beautiful combinations thereof, absolutely paramount for anti-inflammatory push throughout your body. You need to have that. And let's just pivot for a microsecond here on what you've been hearing about these ultra-processed foods. So ultra-processed foods are not super healthy. They're the kinds of foods that you find in big boxes, big bags, and they're everything from the overly processed chips and cookies and pastries, as well as the other kinds of entrees, you know, pizzas, this and that kind of thing. Now, if you have a cookie like that, are you going to drop dead? No. So if you have the ultra processed foods and you have just a little small amount of them, you're fine. Nobody's going to die. The problem in the United States is that children's diets and adults' diets are fast becoming, hold on to your seats on this one, 80% of their diet is this ultra processed stuff. Oh my gosh. And we can't have that. That's absurd. What happened to produce? What happened to healthy food? What happened to cooking, for crying out loud? And so what we're saying is it's just gotten completely out of control, completely. And so if you're finding that all of your nutrition's coming from a 7-Eleven, not a great thing, all right? So what we're saying is just be extremely careful about how you're putting this nutrition together for yourself so that what you have is a balanced dietary intake with fruits, vegetables, proteins, and making sure that you have healthy protein, healthy fat, healthy carbohydrate. Don't be leaving anything out. This is all important. And actually, tell everyone about your book, because talk about balance. It's beautiful. Tell everyone about, I just love your cookbook. Go for it.
The Mediterranean Dash Diet is the Mediterranean diet, or the style of a Mediterranean diet combined with a DASH diet, which is essentially lower sodium, is the main crux of it. But the goal is, as you said, to have balanced meals full of all of those beautiful fruits and veggies and whole grains and legumes that we've been talking about.
Exactly. And you probably out there heard about the seed oils and that they're evil. Well, seed oils are most definitely found in the ultra-processed foods. But what did I just say? If you have just a serving here and a serving there, but it's not 80% of your dietary intake, then 80% of your dietary intake is very Mediterranean diet-ish, very much like what Chef Abby said. You're fine. Okay, you're fine. It's just that it's way overboard right now, and we need to clean it up. So everyone out there in the Her Podcast audience, please go through your cabinets, go through your pantry, and get rid of all that ultra-processed stuff. Come on. Let's go for, in the new year, a much cleaner approach, delicious approach, by the way. If you go to Chef Abby's cookbook, the Mediterranean Dash, that's D-A-S-H cookbook, then what you're going to be able to find are ridiculously delicious, yummy, yummy recipes. Does that mean you actually have to cook? There's that four-letter word, Chef Abby. Yeah, you're going to have to do a little bit, but it's so easy. Don't you have recipes for people who are just time-starved?
Yeah, of course. And even though I cook all the time, right, I don't want to spend all day in the kitchen just to cook one meal. So I aim to have no more than 10 ingredients, including, you know, salt and pepper, and things that don't take more than 30 or 40 minutes. Nobody wants to spend all their time in the kitchen.
Yeah, I know. And this is one of the reasons why I really do want you to check out the cookbook and run on over to Chef Abby Gelman, G-E-L-M-A-N, her beautiful YouTube channel, as well as her website, so you can learn more about her wonderful work and actually watch her cooking in the kitchen. because we want to see that. Now, speaking of cooking in the kitchen, another trend is actually looking at personalized nutrition. Personalized. That means that people are sitting back saying, well, I'm not the same as you. And so I need my own thing. That means trial and error. And sitting down and really trying your absolute best to figure out what kind of food combinations really work for you. Now, you've probably also seen some digital applications out there. One of them is the continuous glucose monitors. And these are actually utilized by people who truly have diabetes. And it's a little patch that is placed right on your upper arm. It's got teeny tiny little prongs. You don't even feel anything. And it attaches there. And it gives you a continuous readout of your glucose levels. Now, I just read some really interesting research that just came out. And that research, I mean, literally, it was like a week ago. And it said that for people who truly have diabetes, either type 1 or type 2, this really helps them kind of keep things a bit under control. And they learn a lot about their own glucose levels after they eat a meal, how they are right before a meal. A lot of people are just using it who don't have type 2 diabetes or type 1. And they're just sort of checking it out with themselves, you know, like, hey, what's it all about? I'm just going to give you a little bit of a caveat here. And the latest research shows that there's so much variability with the kind of food that you're eating in the actual level of glucose that you're going to read. So it gets a bit confusing. And this is why it's not so simple as that. Now, if you want to give yourself a little education about that, fine. You know, see about using a continuous glucose monitor. They are pricey, and a lot of people who should be on them can't be because they don't have access to them. So check it out. Just have a little look at them and see whether or not this is something you truly need one way or the other. And let's see how it all plays out in 2025. For a while, the continuous glucose monitors were only by a prescription and they were covered by insurance if you truly had type 1 or type 2 diabetes. Now, they're mainstream. You could buy it direct to consumer. This is why I'm bringing this up, because a lot of people are very confused about whether or not they actually need one. So right now, the jury is not completely all on board about whether or not this is like a true requirement here. So let's see how it plays out. Meanwhile, you could track with all kinds of wearables what's going on with how you're eating. And there's a million apps out there that you could use to be able to help yourself understand your own caloric intake. Chef Abby, the other day, just for grins, I counted up my carbohydrate intake in the day. Now, the reason why I bring this up and we're talking about precision nutrition, I just thought, hey, what the heck, you know? So, and it wasn't that hard at all. I just took out a little tablet and I wrote down the total carbohydrate intake. I already know my protein by heart because I'm kind of a protein-based kind of person. But the carbohydrate, I kind of, you know, hey, let's do a refresher course. And so what I found was this. Now, I'm going to give everyone a little idea of how the typical American diet looks out there. Classically, Americans are taking in on average 600 or more grams of carbohydrate per day, most of it trash. Didn't I just say that it's so important to be able to make certain that you get your carbohydrate on a routine basis, high quality all through the day? Well, I sat there and I said, if the typical American diet is about 600 or more grams of carbohydrate a day, the grand majority of ultra-processed food as an origin, What was mine? Now, I don't really do ultra processed foods, so I added it up. And on average, I'm running 100 to 150 grams of carbohydrate, all very high level, wonderful, wonderful stuff. And I eat more if I'm in athletic training for the obvious reasons. So I was kind of happy with that. And I was like, okay, we could do that. And it's so easy to attain. And my range is probably anywhere between 1 to 200 grams a day. And I do perfectly fine on that. What do you think, Chef Abby?
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, if you're eating a certain amount of plant-based foods, like we've been talking about, those all have complex carbohydrates, which are the kind of carbohydrates we really want. So if you're eating fruits and at breakfast and nuts and seeds, and you're having veggies during the day and at night, and you're having grains and all of those things, and beans, especially beans and lentils, you're going to get a lot of really great complex carbohydrates in a reasonable quantity.
And so the thing is, man, I could just load up on produce. I always have like the salad from hell. It's like this big ass thing, and it's really wonderful. And I'm getting just so much fiber and all the rest of it. Of course, I have a protein source in there too. And you could have a lot of volume, really fill yourself up, which is going to help you rein in a rampant, out of control appetite or hunger and that kind of thing. So kind of wild stuff here. So there we have it. We have the personalized nutrition. And then finally, let's put together the final little guys here. The first one is the gut microbiome. And the gut microbiome, we've really already teased to. And we basically said it is absolutely imperative to make certain that all those little critters in your gut, all the way through your colon lining and the rest of it, absolutely, hands down, you've got to pay attention to them. Why? Because I've already told you, they're directly affecting inflammation throughout your entire body. And what's also amazing is that the gut microbiome communicates with the brain. And so if you have inflammation and a rotten dietary intake, then what happens is you become more depressed, more anxious, because serotonin, and that is the mood modulator that is secreted by your gut. Yeah, believe it or not, it's by your gut, not so much your brain, your gut. Well, it's going to be impaired. You won't have an optimal secretion of serotonin. And if that happens, man, your mood goes straight to the dogs. And so this is why it is imperative. Please feed those little critters down there well. So that means, once again, it's fiber, it's a clean diet, decreasing all of that ultra-processed food, getting tons of hydration. And how about some fermented foods? Boy, those gut microbiome communities love that. Like, what would that be? Fermented foods.
Yeah, that's yogurt or kefir are two really great dairy foods that are fermented. If you like kimchi and sauerkraut, those are really great options as well. You could have a drink of kombucha, also is fermented.
I like my pickles.
Pickles, yes. All the pickled foods you can eat.
I love pickled foods. And those are really good. Onions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So all of that's good. And if you listen carefully, if you eat appropriately, listen to your tummy, you're going to hear all this, that's good, among the trillions of little friends with benefits down there in your gut microbiome. So pay attention. And then the final thing is, well, I'm going to tell you that it's time-restricted feeding or eating by circadian rhythm, by the clock. Pay attention to the clock. So Here's what I mean, and I've talked about this so often. This is brilliant work done by the Salk Institute and the University of Southern California. All right, so here we go. What it means is that instead of eating 24/7, raise your hand if you're doing that. See, I told you. All right. Instead of eating just forever, all day long, stop it already and leave a certain period of time. I'll tell you exactly which time. Leave a certain period of time where you're not eating. I just call it the non-eating time. People love to call it, well, during that time, she's fasting. Call it what you want, but I'll give you an example of how it works. So what we have found is that the sweet spot for people to be able to shed excess body fat and have a very healthy gut microbiome and have a very healthy lifestyle, and it contributes to excellent sleep and all the rest of it, is 14-10. You eat within a window of 10 hours, ideally ending your eating by around 7, if not earlier, all right? And then for 14 hours, you're not eating. So you figure it out. If you're ending everything by about 7-ish, I'm always ishy. Chef Abby, I'm always ishing because women love wiggle room. I'm a woman. I like wiggle room. All right. So, but if you really try to stick to 14-10, oh my gosh, it's the best. Now, do that on average. I'm going to tell you right now that there's a range. Okay. So the range of the number of hours that you will be eating will be 12 hours. So that's 12 and 12, or it could be 10 hours, or it could be 8 hours. So like you might have a day when 8 hours works, and then suddenly you're not eating for 16 hours. That's fine. You may have a day when it's 14-10. You may have a day when it's 12-12. You know something? You got options. So you can slip and slide based upon your crazy, out of control lifestyle. Did I say that right, Chef Abby? Your crazy, out of control lifestyle. So what I'm trying to tell you is that eating by the clock this way is so important. Look, cave woman was not like whipping out some food at 10 at night. She was asleep, folks, because that's the way it rolled then. And if she wanted to be up and moving around, then, you know, somebody wanted to eat her. And so she had to be hiding and not eating. And that's just the way it all works. Okay? So it's incredibly important to honor the clock. Look at the clock. Pay attention. What time is it? When are you going to stop your eating for the day? When are you picking it up in the morning? And when you do pick it up, you're going to eat healthfully. What do you think about that, Chef Abby?
I love that because I feel like people get overwhelmed if they're trying to stay in very specific rules or a very specific box. So almost giving people permission to say it's a 12-12, it's a 14-10, it's a 16-8, depending on the day. And also if you are a morning exerciser certain days of the week, those might be the days you want to have something to eat quickly before you go to the gym. But then the other days you might not be exercising in the morning. And maybe those are the days where you have a longer, like, non-eating period, right? And then you're not tied to this very stringent rule all the time.
Yeah, you know, I think we're moving big time away from rigidity.
Yeah.
Really rigid, like, you know, you got to do it this way and the whole earth will fall apart if you don't.
Right.
No, it's like, take a chill, will you?
That's right.
But do it, make certain to eat within those hours. And then the earlier you end it, the better. And so you got to work it out with what's going on. Like, for instance, what if there's a big anniversary dinner? It's your 20th anniversary. Okay, fine. So you are going to eat later. Nobody died. The science shows that if you did that one night, What you do the next day is you just pick it up and keep doing what you've always been doing. That's what you do. So anniversary dinners will happen and parties and whatever. You just have to pay attention and regroup as soon as possible. Okay, now I'm going to summarize the top 8 food and nutrition trends for 2025, and it's the high fiber diets, plant-based proteins, affordable nutrition, those obesity and diabetes friendly foods and ways of being able to eat around that. And then that continued focus on protein, personalized nutrition, our time restricted feeding or eating by the clock. There's always a clock, circadian rhythm. And then please feed that wonderful gut microbiome, all that healthy food. We did it, Chef Abby.
Yes, we did.
Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted just getting through this. You know something? Did you have just one little golden nugget before we end this wonderful episode for everybody out there in the Herb Podcast land as they're looking forward to a robust, wonderful, nutritious, and healthy 2025?
I might be thinking of this because we kind of just talked about rigidity, but don't kill yourself or don't beat yourself up if you're not perfect, right? No one's perfect. So aim for maybe 80% of the time as good as you can be and 20% of the time for other stuff.
I love it. That's absolutely what I want everyone to know. Chef Abby, you are wonderful and happy new year to you, girlfriend.
Thank you. You too.
Oh my gosh. And can't wait to have you on again in the first part of the year. Oh boy. And meanwhile, we're just really blessed you're part of our community. So Chef Abby, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast again.
Thank you for having me as always.
All right. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray. Solaray vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. They've got the Her Life Stages products. Please run on over to Solaray.com to learn more. Use promo code HER20 for 20% off. You could also go to your health food store locally. You can go to Sprouts and you can go to Whole Foods. Oh boy. All right. This has been another just awesome Her Podcast. I love it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in, being such an important part of our Her Podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about me. Join me every single week for another Her Podcast, where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders like Chef Abby Gelman as we share our wit and wisdom just for you to enjoy. So thanks so much. And remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Have a great one.